Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Does it feel strange to anyone else? We're in the fifth week of Lent now. Next week will be Palm Sunday and Holy Week, and then the Sunday after that, 2 weeks from today, is Easter itself. It feels like only yesterday that we were beginning our Lenten journey on Ash Wednesday, marking our foreheads with the ashes of repentance as a sign of penitence and need for Christ's forgiveness. And now here we are acclaiming with King David in our intro, that salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing be on your people. But then, what does this sentence actually mean to David, especially now in the context of Lent? How do we approach this question of the Lord's salvation, particularly now that we are drawing near to Good Friday and Easter, when we see this salvation actually taking place? The rest of our intro, it places this antiphon in a much more poignant light. Salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing be on your people. So as we approach Palm Sunday and Good Friday, we have this stark reminder that we are beset by danger all around us. Our intro, it is actually taken from one psalm, from one of David's psalms, Psalm 3, which begins with, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God." That's the part that comes right before the part that's in our intro. If you look at the heading for this psalm of who wrote it and when, it was written by King David when he was fleeing before his son Absalom, who had staged a coup against him. Now, we can talk about all of the different reasons why this revolt happened, but ultimately, what's important is that this is an enemy who is rising up from within David's own house and family to threaten him as a punishment from God for David's sins. And so, under such circumstances, being chased away by your own son, how many of us would turn away from God in those circumstances? How many of us would fall into despair and give up, turning against God, doubting that we could possibly survive such danger? I'm guessing the number is pretty high of who would not turn to God. David, however, turns to God. He does not give up under such circumstances. Rather than turn away from God, David cries out to God for help. What an important attitude that is for us to take as well. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. That's what Isaiah points us to in our Old Testament reading, God as our shield. Isaiah hearkens back to the Exodus when the people of Israel came to the edge of the Red Sea and were stuck between the water on the one hand and the Egyptian army on the other. Israel had zero hope here in this situation. They had no hope of rescue or deliverance by their own power. These slaves could never have hoped to fight off the professional, trained Egyptian army by themselves. Faced by this deadly danger, they fell into despair, demanding from Moses to know why he had led them out into the wilderness to die by the hand of the Egyptians. They needed help. They needed God to step in as their shield, to guard them and do something new for them, which is exactly what Isaiah reminds them. God did not leave the people of Israel on their own. God made a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. He took the chariot and horse, army and warrior, and sent them down into the watery depths to deliver Israel by his mighty hand. God brought forth water for them in the wilderness when they cried to him for help. He promises to give them even greater than that in their need. Now, Isaiah promises that same help to the people of his day who have just heard over and over Isaiah's message that that exile is inevitable as the consequence of their sins. God, however, will not abandon them to this exile. But he will do something new to help them and bring them back to him. He did something new for them in the wilderness. He will do something new for them now. And that is also God's message for us as well. No matter what difficulty you are facing in life, you can cry to God in prayer and God will help. It doesn't matter what the reason for your trouble. It can be your own actions coming back to bite you as David. It can be something over which you had no control as Israel in the wilderness. Ultimately, we are beset from all sides with difficulties, large and small. We need God's help. And what a blessing it is that God promises to hear when we cry to him. He promises to hear and to answer us when we are in any need. During this season of Lent, we are especially encouraged to turn to God in prayer, to meditate on our sins and on their consequences, on our inability to save ourselves. But this is also a good attitude for us to take all through the year whenever we are faced with difficulty. God is near to us, hearing when we call to him. We cry out to our God in every need, but at the same time, we also rejoice, confident in the hope that God will protect and defend us. This is where David put his trust while he was on the run from his enemies. He prays, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." David is a brilliant warrior and strategist, but that is not where he puts his hope. He does not trust in his armies, even though he has an army with him. He does not rely on them. He relies on God's protection, on God to be his shield. God also protected and defended the people of Israel during their wilderness wanderings. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, as we talked about last week in our life lights, these were God's presence with his people, guarding and defending them from all danger around them. God delivered them through the Red Sea on dry ground, holding Pharaoh and his army at bay as they crossed. He defeated their enemies. He gave them the land that he promised them. All of this God does in spite of Israel's difficulties, in spite of Israel's rebellions and rejections. And God also protects and defends us as well. We have nothing to fear when God is on our side. The world can assail us from all directions, but we remain secure, safe in God's hand. Now, this doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, of course. We still live in a world that rejects God and kills his son. The only perfectly sinless man ever to live was murdered by wicked people who did not understand him. And so we can also expect danger and persecution to find us as well. But despite of that, despite the danger, despite the hardship, God nevertheless promises to shield us. He is our glory, and we are his people. And so with God as our shield, what have we to fear? What a blessing and privilege we have. We are God's people living in his shelter with no need to fear what happens around us. We have nothing to fear in this world because our God is greater than this world. No, the world sets itself against God and against his people. God promises never to abandon us. The world may do its worst to us, but it will not overcome God. The thousands who set themselves against God and against his people are as nothing to the thousands of thousands arrayed on God's side. We may share in Christ's sufferings in this life, but this is not the end. Whatever we have in this life, we may lose it, but this is not the end. Whatever we have is as nothing compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. So in a couple of weeks, we will rehearse the Passion of our Lord once more on Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Jesus was cast out of the vineyard and killed by the servants who rejected him. Jesus went there willingly, knowing exactly what was about to befall him. But that was not the end of the story for Jesus. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Messiah who was rejected by his people is now the crux of salvation for all people. With all that being the case, why should we be afraid of anything in this life? We know that Jesus is our shield. We know that God hears when we cry to him in prayer. Ultimately, that is all that matters. Salvation belongs to the Lord. The ultimate victory belongs to our God. That is what matters. That is what we receive through Christ. That victory, it will not be easy. It will not be pleasant or simple. That victory costs a life, the life of the only Son of God. But that single death is the means by which God places his blessing on his people, bringing us into his kingdom, shielding us from the assaults of our ancient enemy, and taking away all our fear. So despite the struggle, despite the danger, despite the enemies all around us, we have no need to be afraid. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.